From North State Public Radio, I'm Eric Adams with your headlines for Thursday, January 29th. A former Tehama County official who had been accused of misconduct is eyeing the top elections job in the county. Former County Supervisor Patty Nolan has announced she's running for the clerk recorder seat in June. Nolan resigned from her role as District 3 Supervisor last October as part of a settlement agreement with the county. She was facing accusations of recording meetings without permission, having alcohol on county property, and mishandling confidential documents. Action News Now reports Nolan has stated she misses serving the community, and if she wins the seat, she aims to increase election transparency and address board dysfunction. She'll likely be running against incumbent Sean Hutby, who was appointed to the post in 2024. The elections chief in Butte County says the special election for Congressman Doug LaMalfa's vacant seat is starting to take shape. It's also coming with some out-of-pocket costs for the county. NSPR's Andre Bayek has more.
There will be two elections on June 2nd. The special primary election to serve out the rest of LaMalfa's term following his death, and the regular statewide primary election that includes local, state, and federal contests. Registrar of Voters Keaton Denley says the two elections can't be combined on one ballot due to staggered candidate filing periods and other scheduling reasons. That means voters will get two separate ballots in the mail. He told the Board of Supervisors yesterday it also comes with additional costs for the county.
I've learned to not anticipate any funding from the state on any of these. It's a pleasant surprise when we get it, but we are not expecting any for these elections.
Denley told NSPR that the last special election in November on redistricting came with a price tag of $900,000. He says LaMalfa's special election is expected to cost much less because of savings on staff time from having two elections happening at the same time. A cost breakdown is still being worked out. In Chico, I'm Andre Bayek.
A man was sentenced to 20 years in prison yesterday for starting the 2024 Thompson Fire that burned into Oroville and destroyed 13 homes and 21 structures. Prosecutors say there was evidence 28-year-old Spencer Anderson from Oroville intentionally started the fire by igniting a firework in dry and windy conditions. A jury found him guilty in December. He was also ordered to pay more than $2 million to the victims. State health officials report flu cases are continuing to rise in California, including in the North State. As NSPR's Claudia Brancart reports, a new strain may be adding to elevated infection rates.
The variant, dubbed the super flu, is called subclade K. Doctors say the strain seems to be more transmissible than your standard flu. It can also cause more severe symptoms. And this year's vaccine isn't as effective against subclade K. But experts say the shot will still provide a good degree of protection, especially from hospitalization and even death. Here's Dr. Jarrett Bowden, Butte County's public health officer, speaking in a Facebook video.
You know, the single most important thing that you can do is get that flu shot.
Bowden also suggests wearing a mask in public if you're at all worried or face increased risk of getting sick. That includes adults aged 65 and older and children younger than 2. In Chico, I'm Claudia Brancart.
A Chico man was sentenced to a year in jail yesterday for selling drugs to homeless residents at the city's Genesis Pallet Shelter. 45-year-old Michael Harrigan II had pleaded guilty to felony charges of selling fentanyl and methamphetamine. Prosecutors say he sold drugs to people struggling with addiction in a large-scale operation. Harrigan had been a resident at the shelter. He was arrested in December by Butte County's Interagency Narcotics Task Force. State bills aiming to regulate ICE agents are emerging here in California and in other state capitals around the country. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald reports on the legal challenges these bills could face if passed.
When it comes to the legal footing of state laws aimed at regulating ICE, legal experts agree on one thing, that it depends.
So we're going a lot on uncharted territory here. And so each of these things, I think, we need to examine on their own merits.
Muzaffar Chishti is an attorney at the Migration Policy Institute. He says he's seeing an unprecedented nationwide surge in state bills targeting ICE after what's happened in Minneapolis. States don't have any legal authority to regulate immigration itself, But Chishti says states can enact laws aimed at protecting people ICE interacts with, including protesters.
They cannot decide how many people are allowed in. They cannot decide who gets deported or not deported. All they can do is regulate the conduct of immigration officials within the states and regulate the conduct of federal and state employees in terms of what data they can share and they cannot share.
Laws seeking to regulate how ICE agents do their jobs could face legal challenges. One example is the California law banning ICE agents from wearing masks, which is currently held up in court. Chishti says laws that regulate how ICE uses state resources are on more solid legal ground. Lawmakers are considering a bill to ban ICE from using state property to stage their operations. In Sacramento, I'm Laura Fitzgerald.
Butte County supervisors approved around $3.5 million in state funding to address homelessness. The Jesus Center is getting up to $2 million. Other recipients are Catalyst Domestic Violence Services and True North Housing Alliance. KRCR reports this is the fifth round of funding from the state. It's part of the Homeless Housing Assistance and Prevention Grant Program. Butte County had already received around $11 million from the grant before this round of funds. More money is expected. The federal government could face a partial shutdown starting Friday if Senate Democrats refuse to vote for a spending bill that includes billions for immigration and customs enforcement. Cap Radio's Gerardo Zavala reports.
Congressmembers Doris Matsui and Mike Thompson held a press conference Tuesday in downtown Sacramento, urging the Senate to reject the bill and calling for the impeachment of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Thompson of Napa says recent killings involving federal agents show the agency has gone rogue.
They're led by someone who is completely incompetent. Kristi Noem needs to go. She needs to quit, be fired, or be impeached.
Matsui of Sacramento says now is the time to stand up.
We voted against the DHS bill, the funding bill. The Senate now has their opportunity to do that. And I think that what they've seen in Minneapolis will cause them to act.
Senate Republicans currently lack the 60 votes required to advance the funding bill. Without an agreement, parts of the federal government could shut down by Friday. But Giselle Garcia with the immigrant advocacy group NorCal Resist says she doesn't expect Republicans to vote against additional funds for ICE.
I don't think they're there yet, despite the level of violence that we're seeing across the board.
Garcia says what's most frustrating is the continued denial by the Trump administration about what's happening, even within her community. GOP leaders have blamed the recent unrest on sanctuary policies in states like Minnesota and California that limit cooperation between local and federal authorities. In Sacramento, I'm Gerardo Zavala.
An arrest has been made in the fatal shooting of 30-year-old Sean Allen Jr. in downtown Chico on New Year's Day. Chico police announced today that Oakland resident Dante Murphy was arrested in the Bay Area on suspicion of murder. Police say they worked with state and federal law enforcement agencies to track Murphy's movements, authoring 15 warrants in the process. Murphy will be held in Butte County Jail pending further legal proceedings. Travelers who want to fly and don't have a real ID will need to pay $45 to get through security without one. The new TSA Confirm ID program is starting on February 1st. Payment is offered on the TSA website. The agency says more than 90% of travelers are already using a real ID compliant form of identification. There are multiple acceptable forms of ID, including real ID driver's licenses, U.S. passports, and permanent resident cards. The Chico Animal Shelter is temporarily reducing its adoption fees to mark its 14th anniversary. Those who take a pet home this Saturday will pay just $14. The usual fee for dogs is $109 and $70 for cats. Gina Catallo, the facility's animal services manager, told NSPR they're over capacity and especially need to find new homes for dogs. The lower fee still covers spay and neutering and current vaccinations. The event runs from noon to 4 in the afternoon. And those were your headlines for Thursday, January 29th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, visit our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eric Adams.